Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Welcome to the session, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on your favorite podcast. I know it's your favorite. I can tell by the look on your face. I see you there in your car driving. I know it's creepy, but I see you there. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, and we are here with my very good friends from Liquid Gravity Brewing Company. They've joined me here at the Hop Grenade. I joined them at their place last weekend because we're doing a release party for their Welcome to California collaboration series. It's Brendan and Celeste Goff in the studio with us. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. I'm going to be honest with our audience for a second, if I can. I feel like we've been drunk. I feel like we've been drunk for 10 days.
Yeah.
Dude, like, these release parties, they can take their toll on you.
Yeah.
For example, I fell on my face.
I fully faced
at the, you guys weren't there, but I was in the cul-de-sac of the Liquid Gravity Brewery, you know, just trying to have a good time. And, I did one of those things where, you know, when you're running and you start to get top heavy, right? You start to fall forward, but you keep running because you're going to catch yourself, but you can't.
Yeah,
and you end up looking like the guy at the car dealership with the air flowing through him. And you fall. And anyway, you eventually land on your face.
Yeah,
and that happened to me at at the official release party of this beer that we're doing.
Yeah, you got faced.
I got faced.
No doubt about it.
But anyway, I recovered mostly. My hand's still all jacked up.
I thought we were gonna make up a story though for your the people who worked here.
I wanted to make up a cool story, but I'm not good at like that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're like, I faced. That's what happened.
I immediately, like, right when I walked in the door, I come home on the Monday or something. I walk in the door, and I think it's Bridget, someone who works for me. It goes, yeah, what's wrong with you? What happened? And I thought I was prepared. I thought I would make. And I just, she's just looking at me, and I was like, I fell and I'm drunk.
It's so much easier to just do that, though, and deal with the shame of that than to remember whatever bullshit story you're going to come up with.
But I think if you throw in that you were playing with the puppies, then it softens it a little bit.
I guess that's true. I was trying to exercise the puppies at 2 a.m. after being out with you guys all day.
At our local dive bar, yeah.
I was trying to do them a solid. Really, I did it for the dogs.
For the children.
They're not even my dogs. I just was trying to exercise somebody else's fucking dogs. But that's what kind of guy
some
I am.
Some random. Some random's dog. Yeah.
Anyway, it went great. So there was that. Let me do some business first, I guess, then we can tell you the rest. It was a great release party down at Liquid Gravity, and today we're going to be talking about the 4 collaboration beers that they did and why this release party happened at all. First, I'd like to thank our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and check them out. They've been my sponsor since day -1. They've been they've been here forever. They don't mind that I'm a drunken idiot sometimes. After all these years, they still believe in me for some reason. I feel like they're like my mother. Like, they have that kind of love for me. So you can go to Morgan.
They're just so committed that they, at this point, they're along for the ride, good or bad.
Like, whatever, man. We're in it to win it now. Check out their Komos line of awesome things. I have a Komos kegerator in my RV, which often has a liquid gravity keg in it. Sometimes it has a 21st Amendment keg in it. Right now, it has a faction keg of Penske Pale Ale in it. Check out the Komos line of kegerators, also their jockey boxes, also their keg couplers, you name it, Komos kills it, and you can get all of that at morebeer.com, our wonderful sponsor. Yeah.
We definitely did not start the day off with mimosas and a Bloody Mary.
I don't know whose idea it was to invite you guys up a day early.
Yeah,
so these two come in yesterday, and we go to a tattoo convention, because that's what you do. Where Brendan and I, by the way, I tried to make it happen tonight, but everyone's at this tattoo convention, apparently. Brendan and I agreed to get each other's logos
on our face
tattooed to each other.
Wait, not, on no, no, no. Not on the face.
Celeste is like, just not on,
not on the face.
So Brennan has a cool Ruined liquid
network.
Gravity.
I'm gonna get a teardrop, but it's gonna be the Hoff grenade.
Oh, yes! So if a normal teardrop means you like whack somebody out, what does a Hoff grenade teardrop mean you did?
That you also whack somebody. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, it's a different, yeah. I think it means you faced.
Yeah, you faced. It means you faced. Yeah.
At least once.
Yeah.
Liquid Gravity has a cool hop logo, and I agreed to get that tattooed to my body. And Brendan said, all right, then I'll get the hop grenade.
I'm in.
So at some later date, and I still think we should do it on the air.
Absolutely.
We'll get a tattoo artist in here to do that. I tried to make it happen tonight, but they're all at this convention, apparently.
Weak.
Yeah. The tattoo convention was cool.
It was cool. Yeah.
There are parts of it, there are times, though, that it's a little ghetto, right?
A little ghetto, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it might have been the place that we were in that was the ghetto part of it.
The Cow Palace does set the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could have put it at the Ritz-Carlton. It's still going to have
but yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's still going to have its own little like feel to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just you set the stage at the Cow Palace and it delivers on all fronts.
And I have this weird like love and respect for the Cow Palace, too, because it's like the OG San Francisco venue. And I think they still do concerts there every now and then, but it's not like it's never like a big touring act, right? It's like a medium touring act.
Big enough to fill up the Cow Palace, like that's going to bring a crowd that might fuck shit up, like where you don't want them somewhere else.
Yeah. Or it's a tattoo convention or it's a gun show.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure that last weekend was probably the gun show. And then anyway, so good times there, but then we hung out all night and then we did a little brewery hopping today. We went to our friend's brewery at Ghost Town, and Ryan's here hanging out with us today. We went to your Laurel spot, your new beer garden in Oakland.
Which is incredible, by the way.
It's so cool.
It's
a concept that I really like where everything's outdoors, like obviously beer garden. But, you know, you do like some containers, you know, you're basically recycling shipping containers to use as different parts of the effect. And it's a concept I've been wanting to do myself for a while. So I'm a little jealous, I'm going to admit. But you guys are like Oakland's your spot and you opened it just kind of across town in Oakland. I hadn't been there yet. We went today. I loved it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Amazing staff,
amazing beer. And I'm just going to throw this out there. The coolest sign in the beer game.
Ooh, mm-hmm. It's like this old school, like, Art Deco diner sign that actually has a rotating feature.
Yeah,
like, just
so cool.
Think of like a 60s, even 50s, like sign, you know, where it rotates. Usually it would say, like, I don't know, beef jerky or something, or like milk.
Yeah.
I don't know what. But now it says Ghost Town, which is super cool. Look for pictures of it. If you Google right now, Ghost Town Brewing, and probably Laurel, or even if you just do Ghost Town Brewing, you're going to see this. I Googled it today, yeah, and the first thing that came up was the sign.
Well, and you got to think, these are, you know, some of the coolest guys making some of the best beer in the state here, and yeah, we're talking about their sign. So it's
totally,
that's how cool it is. Yeah.
That's how cool it is.
So we went there. We went to my friend Andy's brewery, Original Pattern.
Beers were great there,
I wanted
too,
you to go and check. I know you've had the beer before, but I wanted you guys to check that out. So anyway, yeah, and then we land here at the Hop Grenade for our release event, and like I said, I feel like we've been drunk for 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of how
it's, yeah, that's about where I'm at as well.
All right, you can support the show and our activities that I've just described to you by donating. Just hit the donate button on our homepage, and a lot of you have been doing that for so long and so many years, and I think I said it last week on last week's show. You have no idea how far that goes and how much you've helped me and my career and keeping this show alive. So thank you all for doing that. And you can still do it by hitting the donate button. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. You can do your Amazon shopping like you normally do. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage and then just like shop away. You all shop at Amazon. I don't trust anybody who doesn't shop at Amazon. I also don't trust anybody who shops at Amazon.
Yeah.
But you can click the Amazon link and then that helps us out too. So you don't even have to spend any extra cash. You can also support our sponsors like the folks at More Beer and just let them know where you heard about them. And that really helps too. So there's tons of ways to support us. You can send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. We love to hear from you. And I'll often read it on the air, whether it's good or bad. You can tell me I suck. That's fine. Those are the ones I tend to enjoy more.
You're going to get a bunch of people emailing that they too have faced.
Tell me a story about how you have faced. And if you don't know the definition, if you faced, you already know the definition. Yeah. You just know. You know, it's when you catch yourself with your face.
Yeah.
It's never good. I thought those years were behind me too, by the way. And then I go hang out with these assholes and I find out that those years aren't behind me. All right, let's dive right into the beer. So the collaboration that Liquid Gravity put together a year ago, so this is the second time you've done it, is called Welcome to California. And it's a collaboration between Liquid Gravity Brewing Company out of San Luis Obispo and four of breweries of your choice. And what was the idea behind it? Just to brew beer with your friends, or?
I mean, I love collaborating with you know, friends that I've made in the industry, and whether regardless of where it is, making that trip or you go travel and kind of just hang out for the day and talk shop. And like, I love that part of it. I believe this idea was either Monica or Celeste's, because it's a lot of extra work. And I don't think I would have come up with an idea that was going to create a bunch of like extra work necessarily for me.
Yeah.
That sounds like Monica then.
Yeah. That's true.
It sounds like Monica.
I think, you know, because it was last year we had tied it in with California Craft Beer Week. And so the whole kind of concept was to pick, you know, four breweries that we're friends with, that we respect, that are making awesome beer, and that we just wanted to hang out with and get them, you know. I think last year when we did it, it was kind of like right in one of the like COVID like windows where it was kind of okay to move, but you couldn't, like, they were still not encouraging hanging out.
Hmm.
And so we had done most of them kind of virtual. I think one of the collaborators stopped through on the way somewhere else. But, you know, the concept behind it was to really pick four breweries that you could be able to showcase, you know, because our distribution goes up here to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Goes out to the Valley. And we don't, you know, send a ton of beer anywhere, but we cast our net wide and try to get in the best beer spots.
You don't leave California, right?
We do a little bit. We send some beer to Arizona and Oregon kind of periodically.
Okay.
We have like, you know, I think one outlet channel in each of those states.
Okay.
I think we'll get a pallet or two here and there.
Got it.
but yeah, really to like focus not only on, you know, like the individual breweries that you would typically collab with, but to sort of this showcase of California.
Yeah.
And so even geographically, you know, tried to pick, you know, a couple from down south, a couple from up north, you know, and, you know, last year's was great. And so the biggest pain in the butt with the whole thing is hand mixing the four packs though.
I see, when it's done.
Yeah. After the beers are brewed and
I've talked about with other brewers too, like, okay, the variety pack, right? Mm-hmm. for larger breweries is like a hugely successful thing. And at first, when they started doing that, they had to hand variety pack. And now you can spend $2 million on a bottling line that will do your variety pack. But you guys didn't do that. You have to hand four pack.
Yeah.
I'm watching, by the way, a time lapse video of it right now.
It's intense.
It's exhausting is what it is.
It's funny. At some point this year, but one of the reasons I like agreed to do it because it was so much work is I thought we weren't going to hand mix the four packs.
Okay.
And we got like after the beers are brewed, you know, we can them all off, you know, individual. And then I start talking with Monica. She goes, "What do you mean we're not going to hand mix them?" And I go, "I thought we had talked about that we would just send them out. Like you've got to buy four cases, and just let
that's
the retailers."
What we did last year, I think I'm pretty sure last year that's what we did, and we hand mixed them for you. But we don't buy that many cases either. Yeah. We don't move a lot of cans here.
But either way, Monica, you know, it was like, well, they've all been promised to the accounts as pre-mixed four packs.
Whoops.
Okay. And
so
and
is
honestly,
that a day? Like one day of labor, basically?
It was a full day, 8-hour day with like five or
so day
five
day PM. One, yeah. Which was Tuesday. Day one, which was Tuesday, we did two of the beers. Wednesday we did the last two, and then on Thursday was the day that we put them all out and hand you pick up your pack tech, and there's four pallets and you walk by each one and hope that you don't accidentally grab
the wrong
wow. There was hurt backs, hurt wrists, fingers were hurting. It's a long
day. Honestly, I'm super glad that we did that again because I'm willing to go ahead and just sign on to do the same thing next year.
Yeah.
The exact same way in the mixed four pack because it is so cool to even just see them on the shelf with all of these breweries in the same four pack.
And it's the point of doing it with four breweries.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So the beer we have in our glass right now is the beer that you did with Humble C. Mm-hmm. Out of Santa Cruz. And I chose this one to start because it's my favorite beer style. It's a pale ale. And it's a nice, this is a West Coast American pale ale, right? It's not an English pale ale. This is a dry, hoppy American pale ale, which is my favorite. If our mutual friend Tasty were here, it'd be the beer he's drinking, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me about the beer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm that 5.5%, you know, very hop forward, you know, but it's a beer that presents with a little bit more balance than a session IPA, where a session IPA is, you know, it's maybe 4-4.5%. And it's like, it's hopped legitimately like an IPA.
Yeah.
But typically I don't like those beers.
Yeah.
They taste like hop tea. They're astringent. They don't have, and I don't really like the word balance for hoppy beers because I'm not looking for like malt hop balance, but I'm looking for flavor balance, right?
Okay.
And for mouthfeel to work, to be integrated with the rest of the beer. And like everything should work harmoniously, but it doesn't, I just don't like the word balance because people always kind of assume that, you balance hops with malt. It's like, no. Like just the flavors have to all work. Everything has to kind of be put together well and work together.
Yeah.
And so we're typically with pale ales that we make, we will put a little more malt in them than we would our IPAs, where our IPAs are, you know, bone dry, it's two row or Pilsner malt, some corn sugar to dry it out. That's it. Maybe there's a little sprinkle of something here and there, but that's how we approach IPAs. So for our pale ales that we make, we typically have, you know, a little bit of Vienna malt in there and a little bit of crystal malt, you know, which we don't usually put in our IPAs, and some flaked wheat or, you know, Carafoam or something to fill that void that is, missing from, you know, not having the alcohol be there.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always kind of approached this style. So yeah, for this beer, when I talked to Nick at Humble C, you know, the approach was really to make something leaner and lighter in color and body, two row Pilsner malt, and to really have that explosive hop character. You know, we approached the softening, the balancing or the sort of having those flavors meet together, with like water chemistry. So it was much heavier on the calcium chloride side than the gypsum side. Also keeping the, you know, we cool down the
calcium chloride makes it softer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that...
You get hop character, but without hop, like as much hop bitterness. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I've always looked at calcium chloride and gypsum sort of as like salt and pepper.
Okay.
Where, you know, salt sort of rounds stuff out. I think calcium chloride sort of rounds stuff out in that same way. It rounds it out, sort of enhances the sweetness of the beer. And I think in a beer that's 5.5% that doesn't have any other real specialty malt, we did put some Carafoam in it, but it helps soften the presentation and kind of fill the void a little bit, where, you know, some of the beers that we often make in the same style, we'll use a little touch of malt or wheat flakes or something else. And we kind of tried to approach it with water chemistry here and to let the base, you know, the beer itself remain very, very simple on the malt side to really let the hops be expressed the way we wanted them to, but to still fill that void that's missing of alcohol when you hop them at this rate.
What is it, a single malt in the malt bill?
I believe we ended up blending Pilsner malt and Two Row.
What's the majority? Is it Two Row?
It's like 50-50.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we actually did. It was supposed to be all Pilsner malt, and the Pilsner malt didn't show up.
Oh, so you had to.
We ended up doing like one of the full turns with our, you know, RAR Two Row.
Yeah.
As really, it was just that, and then a little Carafoam, and then the other turn that we did the next day was all Pilsner malt.
So I don't know that I would have liked it if it was all Pilsner malt, but I'd have to think back if I've ever had a pale ale I liked that's all Pilsner. To me, a pale ale is fucking Two Row. Now, but we mentioned just a minute ago too. Like, but Tasty also taught me and some other brewers that like Two Row with a little bit of pils in there to kind of give it that dryness that I like.
Yeah.
But an all Pilsner pale ale is not a pale ale, is it?
Well, and that's, but I, you know, the concept with, and there's, when we get to the other beers, you know, two of these beers, this one and I think the Carlsbad one, were sort of experiments. I mean, not that it's really groundbreaking to make a lean malt, you know, pale ale, but we, you know, the idea was to kind of push the boundaries on that, right? And so as things were getting, you know, more dry and people are layering in more Pilsner malt and the malt bills are getting more simplified, it's like, well, let's take the style that may be the most difficult with that approach and really take it to the extreme.
And mess with it, yeah.
And but then see, is there another way? Because there's some really wonderful things about that really light, lean malt profile. It's just missing the alcohol.
Yeah.
Is there another way to kind of fill that void than the way we approach it?
And I'm not trying to, I get that because you're just having fun with it. So, mm-hmm. I'm certainly not trying to be argumentative. but at that point, then I'm like, oh, it's a hoppy Pilsner, but with an ale yeast.
I mean, you know? I don't.
Whatever, Brendan.
Well, no, I think with the Pilsner we make, if we're making like a German Pilsner, you know, we're using Saphir and Tettnang.
Yeah, but that's not a hoppy Pilsner.
You're talking like a West Coast Pilsner.
I'm talking
Pilsner.
About like Pivo, like a West Coast Pilsner. You know, I'm talking about a hoppy Pilsner. If you did all Pilsner malt.
Yeah.
So I'm saying I'm glad you didn't.
Okay.
I'm glad that your shipper failed you and that this has Two Row in it.
Well, it's probably my ordering, not the shipper. Let's be real. Yeah.
Well, okay. All that aside, it's a delicious beer. Tell me about the hops.
I see what you're saying, though.
But, right, because now, of course, I'm still making it complex because I'm saying, oh, now it's a hoppy Pilsner, but with an ale yeast, which makes it not a hoppy Pilsner. So it's apples and oranges, right? Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's
a lean-bodied American pale ale, but we did.
Well, it is delicious.
Yeah, and it really is good. I mean,
is it just Cal Ale? Keep it clean? Yeah.
Yep. California ale, neutral fermentation on it.
Yeah.
It's all mosaic in the kettle.
Of course it is.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
No hops were harmed in the making of this beer during the boil.
Okay.
And so we wait till the end of the boil. We cooled it down. Typically, we'll take our cool down steps to about 180, 185 or so. And then add hops. With this one, I think we did take it down colder. And because I really wanted to put that same, you know, load of hops into it, but not have it be as bitter as normal. And so we do a cool down step of about 185 with our regular pale ale.
Okay.
But this one we went like 175 because I wanted to up the hop load, but still minimize the bitterness a little bit. And so all mosaic in the kettle and then just a nice charge of Mosaic and Galaxy.
Galaxy, okay.
Which, you know, for me, I've had Galaxy years ago that was just amazing. And the last few years that I've come across it has not really wowed me in the same way. Hmm. And so I was actually finally contacted one of our old suppliers that I really got some good Galaxy from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had him shoot me a box. I had just had a couple of boxes from other people that were not good. And so when I was talking to Nick about it, I said, hey, I got this Galaxy coming. If I open it and it's not good, I'll call you and we'll figure something else out. But, you know, if it's as good as the stuff I used to get from him, like,
yeah,
you know,
then you'll take it.
Yeah. And so I opened it up on dry hop day and it was magical and
nice. It's old school hop. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's like old school, but it's new school, old school.
Okay.
Or old school, new school.
It was ahead of its time, is what you're saying back then.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first hop that, I mean, when Mosaic first came out, when Citra first came out, you know, Citra and Mosaic both were kind of like,
yeah.
I mean, they changed the game.
Yeah.
And I think Galaxy sort of did that on the Southern Hemisphere front.
Okay.
Right? And that kind of led the way for people, you know, starting to find Nelson and, you know, these other hops that are growing down there. Nectarons, the kind of new,
yeah,
the new it hop down there. But I think Galaxy was the first one, you know, it's like, oh, they're growing hops down the Southern Hemisphere. That's cute. You know?
Yeah.
And then people got some of these early lots of Galaxy and was like, what the, this nice. Is crazy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the last few years through other suppliers, I just hadn't had anything that I, you know, I think, and as the acreage grows for these crops, sometimes they'll plant small crops. They're amazing. They try to spread it out to other farms and it's just, they change.
Yeah. And it's also gone before you know it.
Yeah. And so, but this Galaxy I thought was awesome. I'm really happy with how this beer turned out.
Well, it's a delicious beer. I was trying to think of a beer that I could give our listeners that it compares to, but I really kind of can't. And to me, it is a cross between a Pilsner and an American Pale Ale, because it has definitely, there's no real malt sweetness in there,
mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of malt backbone, which I think is coming from both, but the Pilsner is backing it up for the amount of hops that you put in there. And I can't really think of a comparison Pale Ale right now that I'd like to give our listeners. Can you think of something that it tastes like to you?
You could probably find a good West Coast Pilsner.
No. Yeah, yeah, might, yeah. But it is more pale ale. I mean, I was trying to make fun of you for that,
no.
But it's not. It's definitely a pale ale. Like if I open, first of all, and I don't have the cameras on in here today, but it is very light in color. It's a yellow beer. It's a straw colored yellow pale ale, which I tend to like very, very much. And pale ales, by the way, I think we talked about this at the release party. The color can really, at least West Coast pale ales nowadays. If you read the BJCP guidelines, I guess it would give you a specific.
Like straw yellow to copper.
They could go as anywhere, yeah, right? Yeah. And this one is straw yellow, right?
Yeah.
And I like the gamut, by the way. I'm not saying that a copper or amber-colored pale ale is too sweet or any. I don't think it has much to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely on that light straw-colored side.
And that was part of, you know, our approach was like, you know, we wanted it to have that really light, you know, appearance. And then like, okay, if we want it to look like that, what can we do to kind of get the flavor in line with what we want it to taste like as well?
Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it. And I think you made the type of pale ale that we like to drink is what you're, you know, as you described, I described it and you're like, yep, I agree with that. Yeah. That's the type of pale ale I want to drink. And you guys did it. All right. And that collab is with Humble C, right?
Yep.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah, up in Santa Cruz, down in Santa Cruz.
You can get it right now at the Hop Grenade and probably other various accounts around the Bay Area and Liquid Gravity. And you can buy it in cans here, too. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got three more collaboration beers to try. All of them IPAs. So depending on how long this show goes, that whole statement I made about drunk for 10 days in the beginning could be true
Make
today.
It 11.
Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're here on the session with Liquid Gravity Brewing Company, and we're trying more of their collaboration beers from their Welcome to California series, which I'm enjoying. I've been enjoying for a week now. And yeah, so we just talked about the pale ale from Humble C, that collaboration with Humble C, and we've got two IPAs in front of us now. And I get confused about one of these styles, which I think I messed up even at our first release. So The first one we're going to try is a West Coast IPA that you did with Casa Agria.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we talk about
that style messes you up.
No,
it's confusing.
It's the one you did with Burgeon, by the way, shout out to Anthony at Burgeon, just an awesome dude. This one's called a Juicy West Coast IPA. And that's where I get confused, because now that all the haze bros are around and at my bar and I have to serve all that hazy, I get to serve all that hazy beer, the juicy part throws me off. Like, isn't juicy usually reserved for hazy IPAs, or do I have that wrong?
Yeah, well, I think if you think about it in two parts, hazy is the physical descriptor.
Okay.
When you get the beer, it's cloudy.
Physically
looks cloudy.
Yeah.
It's hazy.
Okay.
I think juicy is an attempt to describe the flavor profile.
Okay.
So,
but they're usually attached as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what the Haze Bros like about hazy beers too, right?
Yeah.
Is that they're juicy.
Yeah, they're low bitterness. Big dry hop and focus on aroma and flavor, but again, really soft water chemistry and lots of wheat and oats and these things to build the body and to build the sweetness of the beer. But you can do that and then ferment it clean and drop out the yeast and have it look clear.
Still have the juicy characteristic.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to be as, because the yeast we use to make hazy IPA leaves beers sweeter. There's more sugar left in them. And so, I like some of those flavor characteristics that come with hazy IPA. But it's fun sometimes to, take that approach, but then use a Cal Ale yeast and, drop it clear.
Yeah. And prove that it can be clear and still juicy. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. And by the way, all four of these collaboration beers are clear beers.
Yes. Yeah. And they always will be.
But you make hazy beers at Liquid Gravity.
Absolutely. Yeah. We only have really four beers that we make year round. Our Liquid Gravity IPA, Miami Heist, which is
clear.
A hazy. Yeah. Liquid
Miami,
Gravity
yeah.
is a clear West Coast. Miami Heist is the hazy double IPA.
Yeah.
And then we do a Pilsner.
Crispy Life.
Oh, and Pale from the Crypt is a regular in the rotation, but it's
also clear.
Also clear.
So why
do
you
say? But we do a lot of one-off hazies as well.
Then why do you say that the collaboration beers, the Welcome to California, will always be hazy?
I'll always be clear.
Always be clear. My fault.
Because this is the West Coast, and this is Welcome to California.
I see. So you want them to stay West Coast?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's where we're at.
So the four brewers then did they get to pick their own style?
So
a beer to brew with you?
There was the Wheel of Death this year.
Okay.
And so we actually had a little wheel that we spun. I picked a name out of the hat for the brewery and then spun for the style that they'd get.
Okay.
One of them was Juicy West Coast. One of them was all the beers that we made. The wild card in there was that I did have like one triple IPA sliver on the the wheel. They're great, but I'm not going to drink a bunch of triple IPA.
Yeah. And it's tough to put in a 16 ounce can.
Yeah. But I did want the sort of drama that it could happen.
And so you also, other than that, you did sort of stack the deck. Like, it's not like you put Hefeweizen what are they called? These pastry stout like
right.
that wasn't
no, they were
on the
all
wheel.
West Coast
okay
hop
so it was just
beers,
a matter of which awesome style everybody got
yeah
except potentially this triple
yeah which I mean they're great I just okay. I'm not going to drink a bunch of 11% triple IPA
I might tonight but
yeah
other than that that's just to get over yesterday
but I have had some I've been thinking about this a little bit and it's like I think what could be fun too would be just to pick single West Coast IPA. Everybody, the four collaborating brewers next year, everybody will brew a straightforward single West Coast IPA. And essentially each brewery would submit their own recipe instead of kind of collaborating, working together. I was like, hey, you've had our beers. You're welcome to ask me any questions about the recipe of any of our beers to get a baseline to understand like what our brew house, how it produces beer.
Yeah.
And then to have the brewers actually just produce their own recipe.
Okay.
We brew it. And then the big release party can also become a little bit of a competition sort of fun where people like pick their favorite because it's all the same style.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing that, you know, this year, but it's like, I don't know if it's fair to, you know, have a pale ale compete against the double IPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so, anyways,
right.
Just kind of thoughts the moving forward, but this year was the hat pull for the brewery. And then I spun the wheel and stacked the deck to make sure that we'd get awesome West Coast style, hop forward beers.
Okay. So the one in our glass in front of us now was a collaboration with Casa Agria, which they're out of San Diego?
Oxnard.
Right? Oxnard, okay. Like the ghetto San Diego. all the surf, none of the cool. I'm from California. I'm allowed to make fun of all of California, by the way. So you listeners, you don't get to make fun. I do.
Yeah, and Casa Agria is one of our Southern California breweries. So
yeah.
As you're going down kind of towards L.A., they're like between Santa Barbara and LA.
Yeah.
It's right next to Ventura.
Okay.
Yeah. And Eric.
And they got West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
Is their style.
Yes. That was honestly
the
easiest like thing to come up with. I think we actually did blend some Pilsner malt in with the two row with this as well. But, you know, when I talked to Eric about it.
That's a good beer. Do you filter this beer?
We don't filter anything.
It's so crystal clear.
Yeah.
So West Coast. Yeah. It's hella West
that
Coast.
That thing is hella West
say
Coast.
About it. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, when I talked to him about this one, it was like, hey, let's not try to get too cute here. Like we got single West Coast IPA. Let's try to make what we consider, you know, sort of the modernized version of this really classic and iconic style. And so it's, you know, really simple malt base, little dextrose to dry it out, you know, water chemistry balance towards the gypsum side to help the hops punch a little bit. You know, big, we did put a little bit of a bittering addition. I believe it was actually a first wort addition.
Okay.
And then, you know, big whirlpool that we also did the cool down step on.
Of what? What's the hop?
I'd have to look back. I could probably guess that it's Mosaic and something.
There's got to be some Mosaic in there. So just let me say this. I said it at the release party too. I haven't released that audio yet, but Brendan does not know how, but it's more that he refuses to make an IPA or potentially a pale ale, probably too, but mostly an IPA, absolutely refuses to not have Mosaic in it.
Accurate.
And he's tried. He's actually tried. He's attempted to do it.
Yes.
But then at some point in the brew, he finds himself compelled to go find a bag of Mosaic and still throw it in the the beer.
Yes.
Your staff even asked.
I know. Well, okay. Here's the deal, though. Okay. They already know that this is... They already know...
Are you sure you don't want
to
be
fair.
To be fair. Yeah.
I often go in with the intention of not using it.
And that's what I'm saying.
And first of all, have you had Mosaic? It's fucking awesome.
Right,
it's fucking awesome.
Of like, course, but you know, come on, don't be a one trick pony.
He's the best one trick pony though.
No. I would argue that the Mosaic is the pony.
Okay,
you can teach it to do tricks, but without it, you don't even have a fucking pony,
there's
man.
There's no circus.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
But because my staff rodeo. Knows that, I'll go into this going, hey, we're going to do this. In fact, the Ryan's here from Ghost Town, the beer we were going to make, that we did make a few months ago, was going to be, an all strata beer. It was Killer Strategy, right? Or was that the one we made? I can't remember. No, we did the Nelson one. It was the Nelly of the Beast.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
We weren't going to put any Mosaic in it, I think. And then at the last minute, I did. but because they know that, it's almost like they egg me on. They'll go, hey, are you sure you don't want to put any Mosaic in there?
Right, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I'm sure.
It's going to be fine.
I mean... Well, is there like a loose bag? It's like,
well,
if you ask me long enough, eventually, yeah.
All they had to do is like mention it once. That's probably what happened. Okay, listen. Also, I'm not mad at your decisions. Mosaic is fantastic. You're right about everything. I do just find it funny. And by the way, you're probably not the only brewer like this. I like that you just self-admit.
No, everybody making good beer.
You, yeah, you self-admit. You're like, oh, an IPA without Mosaic is just not an IPA.
Well, and before that, it was Simcoe, right? Like when Pliny was in its heyday, and but even like Citra hadn't even come out yet. It's like Simcoe, if you made a West Coast IPA without Simcoe back then, like what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think Mosaic has kind of become that hop.
Okay. So this has Mosaic, and then what else? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Well, we had a little plan to, we were going to try to use some, the Incognito, which is that like kind of liquid lupulin.
Yeah.
And I had gotten some of that in, but again, more of an ordering issue than a shipping issue, I think.
So that did, so it's not in the beer.
No, and we've used it a couple of different ways. And I think you can get a really resiny character out of that stuff.
Okay.
Eric had just used some. I got some. It may have actually even showed up on time. I think, you know, the more we just thought about it, it was like, I just want this thing to be like the best example, the best foot forward, like as though it's something that we are entering into a competition for the like the best West Coast IPA that we can make.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's do that. That means like all the stuff that, hey, maybe we want to experiment or try this and that, like, let's save that for another time. Like, let's just make this the best West Coast IPA we could.
Okay.
But we did blend
in. Are you going to tell me about everything you didn't put in the beer?
Yes. I'm getting there, Justin. I'm getting there. But we put a little Nelson in. And then both Eric and I are big fans of Enigma.
Oh, yeah.
And really, the only place that we separate is that he will just, he loves it. He'll throw a bunch of it in.
Okay.
And it's a, I love the hop, but, I like to use it more as kind of an accent hop.
Yeah. A little sprinkle.
Cause a little bit of it goes a long way.
So I feel that way about Strata, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a not all Strata beer, just a little, that's a sprinkler.
Yeah. It's, I think our Strata beer had a little Mosaic in it, but it was delicious.
Yeah,
But both of us really love that hop. And we had just got some new Nelson that I think was really good.
Okay.
And so it's, you know, Mosaic has kind of become the sort of staple West Coast hop right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nelson was kind of like the new school hop that came out that's not old school, but it's been around a few years.
Yeah.
And Enigma is a little newer on the market. I think it's probably been out 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
First beer I actually had with Enigma was Enigmatron from Faction.
Great beer.
It's a great, and it's 100% Enigma.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I think if anybody has access to that beer or is able to get it, that one really showcases like what that hop is. And I think that
Can you describe it a little bit? To me, because I couldn't pick it out of a beer, like I wouldn't have been able to go, oh, that has Enigma in it.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking of Enigmatron from Faction and then tasting this, there's a little bit of sweetness from it, and it's hop sweetness. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is a dry West Coast beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know it through and through. But there's something in the flavor that's just a little tiny bit of sweetness. Is that Enigma, do you think?
Yeah, I think it, you know, I think that hop sweetness is sort of a character that I don't know if it's necessarily hop specific, like, oh, it comes from Enigma or Mosaic. Like, I used to call it Simcoe sweetness.
Okay.
It was like when you get a little bit of that, like, sort of candy, like.
That's what, it's just like a candy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but then it beer feels, still finishes really dry.
Yeah.
But I always looked at Enigma as having a lot of the classic kind of signature Southern Hemisphere characteristics. So it's like, it's super fruity and it's very punchy and pungent. But there's a little bit of this kind of earthy, resiny thing that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Galaxy has the same thing. Nelson has the same thing. They all obviously have their own sort of, you know, section of the flavor wheel when you talk about those specific hops. But
yeah, there's that earthy too.
Yeah, there's that's that kind of signature Southern Hemisphere thing. It's like this sort of earthy, very, very fruit forward, you know, hop. And I think Enigma is on the more aggressive part of sort of all of that.
Yeah.
Which is why, in my opinion, you know, it's a really wonderful accent hop. Now, I still like it when it's, you know, punching you over the head and it's just,
you don't mind
all
too
in
much
your
of it.
Face.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind it at all. But I've seen other people where I'd like, you know, have a beer like, oh my God, you've got to try this.
Yeah.
And they try it. They're like, oh,
a little too much.
And I'm like, you know, like I love it.
What's different about this West Coast IPA than Liquid Gravity West Coast IPA?
We do put a little sprinkle of crystal malt in Liquid Gravity IPA. I think it's 1%. We also put some Vienna in Liquid Gravity.
Okay.
So the even though, but we also put more corn sugar in Liquid Gravity.
Okay.
And so we dry Liquid Gravity out even more on the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some malt, little flavor components there.
And the corn sugar to me not just dries up, but also adds that little bit of like malt sweetness at the end too.
Yeah. Well, I think the alcohol adds sweetness.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah. So if you were to take a beer that is whatever gravity that doesn't have any corn sugar in it, that's missing the alcohol, I think the alcohol adds sweetness. I mean, if you were to like, if you just look at the viscosity and texture of like vodka, it has a lot of like, you know, kind of sweetness and body. That it's the reason double IPAs always seem sweet.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, with this beer, Liquid Gravity is, you know, right hovering around that 7% ABV. And so this one is a little higher in ABV. And we, a little less corn sugar in this one. And so that means the starting gravity is a little bit higher.
Hmm.
But they're, you know, we also did a cool down whirlpool on this one, and Liquid Gravity IPA gets the full 212, turn the flame off, big addition right after.
I see.
What we did sort of not borrow from it, but that's one of the big similarities is that a lot of the modern West Coast beers that we make are like whirlpool only, like no hops go in until the whirlpool.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted this one to have a little bit of that old school signature.
Yeah.
And so even though it's, you know, big Mosaic whirlpool and Nelson and Mosaic and Enigma in the dry hop, you know, we still put that like 60 minute bittering charge, and it's not a lot.
Yeah.
I think it was a 23 barrel at end of boil, and we probably did like 3 pounds of like warrior at bittering.
Okay.
Well, no, we did a first wort instead of bittering, but it's that same, it's that getting some bitterness up front. But it's that, so yeah, that little component where our more modern West Coast IPAs are all whirlpool. And this one did get a little bit of, you know, kind of up front in the first wort. Yeah.
Well, it has one massive flaw that I'm going to discuss with you now.
Okay.
It's way too easy drinking.
Yeah.
It drinks like a pale ale.
Yeah.
And like, I actually think a good West Coast IPA should drink like a pale ale. It should make you thirsty. Not like leave you cloying and like you don't want something else. So a really good West Coast IPA has that quality. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you know, it's what, 7%?
7.2, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so fuck that.
Yeah.
That's my issue with it. Because I do, you know, I like to have myself a few pints.
Yeah.
Which is probably why pale ale is one of my favorite styles. But this one, I think, really drinks like a pale ale. It has a nice, firm bitterness. I'm not saying it's soft. It's not. But it's still super easy, which is going to bring us to the next one because, and I haven't tried it yet, but the Burgeon Juicy West Coast IPA, if it has the same drinkability qualities, but is also juicy, which makes you want to have more, I'm afraid of how much I want the next one too. So this one was with Burgeon, who is out of San Diego, right?
Yeah, they're in Carlsbad, which is kind of North County, San Diego. So this is...
Shout out to Anthony.
Yeah, shout out to Anthony. This is the most interesting of the four.
Oh, right.
So we really...
Oh, yeah.
We really chose... Well, so... Okay, so let me back up
what
a little bit. Yeah. Well, hold on.
I know, you can. I just want the listeners to know. There's no video on me, but I just took a sip, and it was like a double take. Because there's something in there that I can't quite place that made me do a double take. And that's why Brendan's like, wait, don't talk about it.
So what I had kind of described as what I would consider a typical, you know, juicy West Coast, right? Which is just like a little bit of oats, a little bit of, you know, wheat, higher mash temp, all that stuff. And then we would kind of keep the bitterness low and dry hop it and brew with it as normal. This one, if anybody has heard of the new kind of thiol boosted yeast strains, that are available from a few of the suppliers, Berkeley Yeast Labs here locally, and then
we talked about it. Moxa was on the show a few weeks back, and they had just brewed a beer with this experimental yeast.
Yeah, so, and we had done one with our like a hazy IPA strain, with our it's London 3 that has a gene that is, let me back up just a little bit. So the what these thiols are, is they're sulfur compounds that are responsible for a lot of the flavors and aromas in beer and wine. There's a specific gene that wine yeast has though. That's capable of converting these thiol precursors into the thiols. And so like where you have Riesling wine and Sauvignon Blanc wine, the grapes don't taste like passion fruit and guava, but the wine does. And so it's because there's precursors in the grapes, and then the wine yeast has a gene that's capable of converting that precursor.
I see.
And so what they've done, because there are no brewer's yeast that have that gene. And so there is precursor in both the, in malt and hops. And so what they've done is they've essentially taken, these different strains of brewer's yeast and inserted the gene so that they can take the precursor in the malt and the hops and convert it into this. In particular, I think this one was the 3MH thiol.
Of course.
Right. Duh.
I mean, obviously.
So that's the kind of tech talk part of it.
Yeah.
And so with that information, what we wanted to do with this was like push it as far as we could.
Okay.
Like let's take all the information about how to get as much of that precursor into the wort.
And then use a yeast that extracts it. Okay. So you had to choose hops that have the precursor.
Yeah.
And in abundance.
Yeah. And traditionally, the hops that they found to have high levels of precursor aren't necessarily the sexy hops that, we all make.
Yeah,
IPAs with.
Yeah,
and so they found like Cascade is really high.
Love that hop. What are you talking about?
Saws. Saws is another one.
I love that hop too.
It's a great one.
They're not the cool hops. Yeah, but I not get the cool it, hops. But okay.
But we found it's a special lot of Motueka.
Okay, a New Zealand hop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which has already got some really interesting kind of flavor characteristics, being another one of those Southern Hemisphere hops. But it was described as a super thiol lot of Motueka.
Okay.
And so I told Anthony about it. I said, I'm going to get, a couple boxes of that, and we're going to really see how far we can push that part of this.
Okay.
And so it's a Cal Ale yeast strain that has the gene. Mm-hmm. And then we, most of the studies have shown that mash hopping, is leading to higher levels of precursor in the wort than whirlpool or dry hop additions.
Okay.
And so
whatever conversion is happening in the mash is
some
affecting
sort of enzymatic activity. Okay. is carrying and pulling more of those precursors out.
Yeah.
And so we did a big mash hop with Motueka, which is not typical for us on a West Coast beer or any beer. I mean, I've done some mash hopping, but
yeah,
this was like a pretty big mash hop. I think it was around a pound per barrel.
Wow.
And then
how many barrel is your brew house?
It's a 20 barrel system. We usually do 23 to 25 barrels at the end of boil.
So you put 20 pounds of hops in the mash? Is that what you're saying? That's a lot of hops.
It's a lot of hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We also then hit first wort. Again, they've shown that first wort additions tend to carry more precursor than whirlpool.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this was the smallest.
So something about these lower temperatures and enzymatic activity happening between the mash and the first wort is accentuating these precursors.
Yeah, and again, I don't have a really great understanding of it, but stuff that I've looked at and studied, that's what they're showing. Okay. I can't describe why.
Yeah,
but I can say that people a lot smarter than me have said that that's what happened.
I figured it out.
Right. Yeah. So
I'll accept that.
Yeah. And then, so it was like a very, very small whirlpool addition. And then the dry hop on it, where we would typically be, at 4 pounds per barrel or higher, somewhere between 3.3 and 4.4 pounds per barrel. This one is like 2.
Wow.
Because they've also shown that these higher levels of dry hopping can actually break down the precursor, whether it's being absorbed or otherwise breaking down. They're showing less of that compound that that in finished beer when the hopping rates get too high in the dry hop.
So basically for a West Coast IPA, you sort of reversed the modern practice, like the practice of the last 10 years,
yeah.
which is like little to no hops in the beginning and a billion hops at the end.
Right, and this is like a billion hops in the beginning, but not in a way that gets a bunch of bitterness. It was like even...
You were like not in the boil, right? So right. Like, yeah, so they're more just like steeping.
Yeah.
They're steep. The hops are steeping in the mash. They're steeping in the first wort. And then nothing in the kettle. And then no massive dry hop or whirlpool.
We put a small amount in the whirlpool. But
not
was,
a massive yeah, charge. No, like uh-uh. you do. So it's really kind of a...
Backwards, yeah.
Okay. Because it's like, hoppy as fuck.
Yeah.
Still.
But yeah, that's...
Right.
And it's
but it's different. The type, so that's why I kind of did this double take. And the first thing, because I was just looking for a descriptor, the first thing that pops in my head is like pine,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now I'm thinking of like different English hops, like I'm thinking of Chinook and stuff like that, right? But it's not that. But it's not just pine. There's something else I can't quite put my finger on. It's a very juicy, mm-hmm. as you're going for, hop forward flavor with almost zero hop bitterness, like not like a hop bite, but you also know it's hops. Like mm-hmm. whatever this flavor that I can't quite put my finger on, I know it's not the malt. I right. know it's not yeast. I know it's hops, but I don't know quite what it is.
Yeah, and you know, after having made a couple of these and then this one where we really went, hey, let's just like... Let's learn something here.
Mm.
Like let's push this approach as far as we can. And if you know, if I'm being honest, I think that it's a wonderful component to layer in.
Yeah.
But if we were to brew this beer again, I'd probably put a little bit of a more traditional dry hop in it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I would use that, you know, use that Motueka in the mash. Let's get a bunch of precursor out of that. Let's do a little first wort, small whirlpool addition. And then like hit it with Citra and Mosaic in the dry hop.
Yeah.
Because we use more Motueka in the dry hop because I was really kind of trying to like make sure that everything that went into it had as much precursor as possible because we were really focusing on that part of the flavor profile.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but there's something sort of singular about it.
Yeah, totally.
And that's, I think, and because I'm trying to put my finger on what that something is. And the reason is because it's like the main thing.
Right. It's like dominant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see how sprinkling in some traditional hopping would, it's almost like a cotton candy. There's a little sweetness to it. It's not so sweet that it's cloying or anything. That's why I'm saying it's still a wonderfully hoppy West Coast beer, but it's somewhat singular. Like,
yeah.
In other words, whatever thiol, because we've been saying it plural, thiols.
Right.
I feel like you pulled out a single thiol.
Well, and it is. So, I can't speak on it very extensively. I don't know, but my understanding of it is that it's that 3-MH thiol.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
It's the one that's responsible for that, like, passion fruit guava, like, in Riesling and Sauvignon Blanc wines.
That makes sense.
and, you know, I think this is the kind of beer, though, where I'm like, oh, like when I would do sensory training, you know, when I worked at Firestone and they'd pull us up and they'd, you know, isolate these different compounds and go through that whole thing with you. Like when you really learn, like, oh, man, this compound is that.
Yeah.
Like that's when you can take that information and apply it
to
to make better beer.
Yeah.
And so that was the goal here was to like, hey, this thing that everybody's, you know, kind of talking about and they're making these beers that have all these other things going on also.
Yeah.
Like let's really isolate it and pull it out and try to see what it is. Because I think from here, I'm like, I know exactly how I'd use this.
Absolutely.
And it could be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful contribution into a beer that, you know, could use just a little sparkle, you know,
which is great to think about because it's just a great base beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you reiterated passion fruit because when I went back and tasted it, I was saying cotton candy, but mm-hmm. actually fuzzy fruits, mm-hmm. passion fruit, anything with a little peach fuzz on it. That's kind of what it's tasting like, you which know. Has that sweetness. And then, yeah, add some earthy to it. Add some, you know, probably some mosaic.
I'm not going to lie. I'm tasting this right now. I'm like, mosaic would go great here.
100%. Like it's so I think it's cool that the yeast and the hops you chose kind of made this base, Mm-hmm. And then you just want to layer on top of it.
Yeah, but without you know, without that piece of information.
Yeah.
And really isolating it, it's like you're kind of shooting in the dark. You know, it's like, okay, I've used these hops before and we use this yeast to pull it out. Okay. But there's still so many other things at play.
Yeah.
I really appreciate, you know, being able to try like, okay, this is really what that thing is on its own.
Yeah.
Without any noise. Other than Motueka. I mean, Motueka is the other part of the noise, but again, it's kind of a singular thing, and it's easier to sort of.
Or it's at least getting sort of outplayed by the other.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got to take a break, but what's this experimental yeast? Can people get this yeast now? I
don't know if it's available to home brewers.
But it is Berkeley Labs or something. No, even pro brewers who are listening.
Yeah, like, Berkeley Yeast Labs is the one that we've used for the London 3 strains called London Tropics.
Ah, that's not this one.
That's not this one. Oh. This one is Omega.
Omega, okay. Just want, because people are listening, they hear all this, and then if they can't do anything with it.
Right, and what's before,
so check out Omega if you want to look at this and just ask them for, like, the super thiol yeast, basically.
Yeah, and they have, again, I think even Omega has a Cal Ale version, a London 3 version, so they've got a couple different ones of it. But
okay. All right, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we got one more beer to try, and it's from one of my favorite breweries here in the East Bay. I'm reluctant to say so because the fuckers didn't show up for my show, and I don't... Steve, I'm talking to you. I don't mind calling you a fucker because I know you and I love you and I love your beer and I wish you were here to talk about it. But we're going to talk about that double IPA, save the best for last, or the assholest for last. I don't know. You describe. We'll be right back right here on The Session. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. Somebody's squeaky chair is amazing. Right at the.
Did I get it?
No, it'll be fine. I'll be able to edit it out. Listeners won't even know what I'm laughing at.
I feel like from sessions in the past, I always remember you hearing that.
I know, but I learned how to get it out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know back then. It's always there. But I learned recently how to get it out. Yeah, so. All right, we're still hanging out with Liquid Gravity Brewing Company. We got one more collaboration beer to try. Hey, first, I just want to remind you to check out our friends over at the 21st Amendment. Go to 21st-amendment.com. You know, my good friend Sully, and he's been a supporter of this show for so many years. They make great beer, and they got two places you can check out. Of course, there's 563 Second Street, just two blocks from, it used to be AT&T Park. Now it's Oracle Park, Giants Park. Shit, how the Giants doing right now? They're playing the Dodgers. Let's do a quick
duck the Fodgers.
Should we do a quick a score update? Traffic and weather on the nines. let's see. The Dodgers are beating us 4-2. It's over. They beat us 4-2. So
boo.
That sucks. But you can still go to the 21st Amendment and have yourself a good beer and drink away your sorrows like I would do. Or you go to their San Leandro Brewery and Tasting Room. And check them out. They're good friends and they're good people and they make good beer. All right. So the last beer that we have in front of us is a collaboration that you did with one of my favorite East Bay breweries, Altamont.
can you take that one out too?
That sound I can't get rid of. We're just throwing things around here. Now, there's a trio of breweries that I'm in love with in the East Bay. All right. And it's Altamont, Ghost Town, and Original Pattern.
Three pretty good choices there.
Today we went to two of three of those. Mm-hmm. And we didn't go to Altamont because they didn't come here.
Yeah, exactly.
But Altamont is honestly one of my favorite. And I don't know if you guys get like the same hops. I don't know what it is the three of you do. But there's something about the hop. If I'm going to drink IPAs, it's always from one of those three breweries.
I bet they all use Mosaic in heavy quantities.
You know, it's that, and it's also, they all use, and I don't know if you guys get it from the same place or what, but they all also use Nelson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've just grown to love Nelson. Now, you described Nelson in the last beer we tried as like this kind of earthy thing. And for me, what I love about it from you guys, and again, it always matters like what lot of hops you get, but what I love about it from you guys is like the diesel and dank like that comes out.
Petroleum, diesel, dank, fruit.
I've said this on the show 100 times, so forgive me. I used to hate it. I used to hate diesel and dank, and now there's something about it that I really like, and it's you three that just do it so well. So we have an Altamont collaboration beer, and they scored on the Wheel of Death, the double IPA, right? So tell us about this beer.
Yeah. So when Steve and I first started talking about this, he brought this up kind of unprovoked, was that, you know, he has this this approach where he likes to put a little bit of crystal malt in these beers to kind of reinforce that hop sweet character. Yeah. And, you know, the C word is kind of a bad word in brewing right now with IPAs, where they really don't want, brewers don't want the beers to be cloying and sweet and heavy. And so they, if you put too much crystal malt in your beer, they go that way pretty quickly. And so when Steve shared that he likes just a touch of crystal malt, to help kind of reinforce that hop sweet, that hop candy sort of character.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, dude, I feel the same way. And not all of our beers will do that with, but I think as a tool, to really pull some of that out, it can be really beautiful.
I think it's a good, and one of my favorite doubles on the planet is from them. It's Juice Above the Clouds. And I think it has that same thing. It has a certain sweetness, but the sweetness goes, it's intertwined with the hops.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's not just sweet.
You don't pull it out as because everybody thinks it's sweetness from the malt. And that's because the alcohol and the malt are sort of what provide the sweetness in the beer, and the hops provide the bitterness.
Yeah, yeah.
But to use the malt in a way where it, it promotes that sort of candy-like character, because a lot of the, even though the hops provide the bitterness, the aroma and flavor compounds that are pulled out of those hops, are like fruits that themselves are sweet.
Yeah.
And so if you're getting a mango character out of a particular hop, or a guava, or any tropical fruit or citrus, there's a sweetness that your brain associates with that fruit.
Yeah.
And a really wonderful way to kind of accentuate that, that character in the hop, because the hop itself doesn't really have sweetness.
Yeah.
Is to use something and it's a crystal malt in a very small amount, to accentuate that. And so this one is, I think it's a caramalt from Simpsons, which is like a 15 level bond, crystal malt.
And at what percent?
At 1%.
1%.
But the difference between 1% and 0%, like, you would taste it. You for sure, the beer would percent very differently.
Okay.
Like, you'd pick them out in a triangle test. I believe every time, which is why, you 2% would like double that character, right?
Interesting.
And
so on your system, that's like a bag, right? Is that
it's like half a bag.
Oh, it's not even a bag. That's crazy.
It's like half a bag.
Wow.
It's like 27 pounds.
Okay.
Because the grist, the grain load in the, it's probably, close to 3,000 pounds.
So I've had brewers come in here and say, like, yeah, we ain't fucking around with half bags.
Yeah.
right? We're just going to, if we're going to add a malt, it's at least a bag. But you think, you just said, if you doubled that amount, so a bag would be 2%.
It's the only bag other than, or the only grain other than crystal malt that I don't use in full bags.
Okay.
I'm not going to use a half a bag of Vienna.
Okay.
I'm not going to use 2.5 bags of Vienna.
But this crystal is something else.
Yeah. In fact, I've taken that I've really tried to kind of find the line where I like it. Our West Coast, our single West Coast IPA, liquid gravity IPA, is 20 pounds.
Okay.
It's like, at least at a half bag, it's like, okay, use half, then you use the other half.
Yeah.
But I feel so strongly about, these like 7.5 pounds mattering in this 3,000, or it's a 1,500 pounds of grain per turn. Like 7.5 pounds still matters.
Wow.
But when he had told me that he feels that way, I'm like, dude, this is perfect. Because like, I feel the same way, and it's even weird to talk about it, because everybody is just on this very like anti crystal, because it was crystal malt was responsible for the really sweet sort of oxidized flavors that were.
Yeah, but people were putting it in 10, 15.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And crystal 40, like dark crystal 60, and they're using them at, 5, 10, 15% sometimes. It's like, this is a crystal 15 level bond.
And by the way, 1%. If you don't know, like those were those, just in case you're sort of new or maybe so young that you didn't have IPAs in the 90s and early 2000s. they basically turned people off from craft beer after a while. At first, they were like, oh my God, this beer has so much flavor. But the flavor was sugar, like, for a while. So this massive reversal happened in the later 2000s, right? Like the 2010, where people were like, they just did this reversal. Everything that's wrong with an IPA is a crystal malt or a sugar or whatever, which wasn't, it was a massive overreaction. Well, right?
And I think if you look back, like, I always talk about, you know, hops back in the day kind of being brewers felt like they were in a bitterness arms race.
Yeah.
And so it was like everybody's trying to one up each other with the more bitter beer. You know, Stone was just trying to make beers as bitter as they could. And Green Flash was making Palate Wrecker, where they were mashing in with wort that already had hops in it. And I think, you know, to try to balance that out a little bit, it's like, oh, well,
yeah,
now these beers are so gnarly. Like, well, let's make like the little crystal malt will help balance it out. And now you've got too much of both of those things. And that's not a good drinkable beer.
Right.
And I think that's part of where, the bad rep for crystal malt came from, is that people were overusing it to try to balance out these overly hopped and overly bitter beers.
Sure.
They're going, well, now these are just gross.
Yeah.
So we're going to blame both. You know,
and we didn't know. It was like, oh, if you're going to have that many IBUs, you have to have this much sugar. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just that's what we knew at the time.
Yeah, totally.
But they resulted in these awful IPAs.
Yeah, they were gross.
Yeah, we liked them for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And then we're like, God, what happened?
And because of that, like, it's like rubber band effect, you know, on that snapback, people are like, oh, like zero crystal malt.
I
will hear brewers sometimes like as this point of pride, like, oh, we don't use crystal malt. It's like, well,
yeah, okay. But yeah, let's not stand on that soapbox.
I don't use it a lot either. The one or two places I choose to use it,
it works.
It's very calculated and it's in a really small amount, and it can add something really wonderful to a portfolio of beers that otherwise would taste very similar.
Right.
You know,
So brewery listeners, don't get all crazy with Brendan's advice here. Just remember that he said 1%.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Let's not go insane.
Yeah. Don't come up to me at a festival and be like, oh, crystal malt guy. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that San Diego Brewers and Vinny saved the West Coast IPA style.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By toning down that crystal,
mm-hmm.
right? And not going just create, just toning it down, because there were a bunch of, by the way, also West Coast brewers who were making those sweet crystal malt IPAs.
Yeah, and I think those beers are what led people to go, oh, well, getting rid of them almost completely made these beers
a little too,
you know, they made them so much better.
Yeah.
Getting rid of it completely.
Yeah.
It's going to make the best. And don't get me wrong. We make, our Mo Diggity is like two row and a little bit of corn sugar.
It's sure. Sure.
Like, yeah. I mean, most of the modern IPAs that we're making don't have any.
Set. Yeah. Yeah.
But
a double like this,
I think it can help enhance that kind of candy like sweetness. Yeah.
So now that we've tasted through all four, not only my favorite, but the one that I would have as a nightcap, and that's obvious because it's the big one, is this double.
Mm-hmm.
Is this double. And by the way, it's the same as I do on most nights that I'm going to have a nightcap. I'll drink Altamont's Juice Above the Clouds, which is their double IPA. That's my nightcap, which is a 9% double or whatever. You know, that's a great finisher. And so is this of the collab. I think that the order that we tried them in right now on this show is exactly how I would drink the 4-pack.
Yep.
And I would drink the whole 4-pack in a night.
I think the other component of that too, and we talked a little bit about water chemistry and sort of how that plays into really affecting the presentation of these beers.
Yeah.
Is that because I knew this was a double IPA, and I knew that, you know, we're putting a little bit of crystal malt, we're sort of enhancing that sweet flavor profile of the hops. We punched pretty hard with gypsum here.
Okay.
And so, which is why you get that sweet flavor. And I think why you said, like, you know, this is one of your favorite of the 4-pack and the one you'd end the night with and kind of your nightcap.
Yeah.
Is that there's that, like, there's that little prickly minerality at the end of the sip that like takes that big bold flavor and it like scrubs it off, and without that then I think the beer can become cloying. And so again, it's like looking at all of the components and saying, okay, well, we're gonna make this double IPA that we want to accentuate the sweetness of the hop profile with just a touch of crystal malt. Well, okay, but you better handle that on the back end of the sip with some water chemistry. And so it's, and it all really did come together, I think, pretty beautifully on this beer. So
it's a great beer. It's a fantastic beer. All of them were good. Thank you for letting the Brewing Network participate in the release. I'm looking forward to next year. I'm looking forward to enhancing the Brewers Olympics. We just posted on our Brewing Network Instagram today about 2,000 times a video of the Brewers Olympics. We fixed it, I think. And I've got some more video that I'm going to piece together so you can see that too. And I think we're going to do this Brewers Olympics even more every single year. So thanks for letting the Brewing Network be a part of that and the release and here at the Hop Grenade. You can come to the Hop Grenade and try all four beers, probably at least through this week. Plus, we've got some four packs that you can take home. So come here and do that. The last thing I want to do before we go is I want to give a shout out and I want to give some love to our friend Bags. Anthony Bags, Bagdasarian. Who is he's with There Does Not Exist now, and Anthony's a good guy, and he finds himself in the hospital right now, having some issues, having some organ failure. It's a serious thing, and we want to give a lot of love to him. He's got a lot of friends and fans in the industry, and this is an industry that really kind of sticks together. So when we find out something like this, we pull together. There's a GoFundMe page for him already. You can go to GoFundMe.com and search Let's Help Bags, B-A-G-S. We call him Bags. And he's just one of the sweetest guys that you'll ever know. So we wish him well. We got some good news today about how he's doing, but he's got quite a road ahead of him. So I want you to give your good thoughts to Bags. He's a young man. Like us, we're young, right? Are we so young?
You're youngish.
Okay.
Justin's shaking his head. No,
shoot. He's a young person. No one deserves to have to go through what he's going through right now. So we just want to give our good thoughts to him. And if you have it in you, if you've got the means, you know, even with medical insurance, when you end up kind of laid up for a while or even at all, especially right now, costs, they really add up. So a GoFundMe is just a great way for people to help out. So go search Let's Help Bags on GoFundMe.
And even sharing the page, everybody has this network of people that, you know, that's not connected to this other network. So every time one person shares it,
right,
and maybe someone else shares it, right, it can really help reach a bunch of people that wouldn't otherwise have seen it, and nobody deserves, the help and support of the beer community more than Bags. We love him.
Bags a good guy. And the beer, by the way, the beer is so wonderful. We just started serving There Does Not Exist here in the last year. And not that that's part of his health situation, but I just, you know, he's really a part of the community, and he works at a brewery that's just wonderful. And he's a good dude. So search Let's Help Bags over on GoFundMe, and let's do that. And Bags, if you ever get to hear this, if everyone ever plays my stupid podcast for you when you're all done, we love you and we're wishing you well. And we just want good things for you, man. All right. Hey, Liquid Gravity, thanks for being here with us, Brendan and Celeste. It's just so nice to hang out with you all the time. I'm glad that we had a show to do. It made us behave ourselves today a little bit, right?
It made me check my brakes after the three mimosas and the Bloody Mary. I'm like, okay, slow down.
I don't know what you're talking about. None of that happened.
We needed that for sure.
I didn't fall on my face today, so that was good.
Yet.
The night's still young.
The night is still young. It's only 8 o'clock right now.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us. Don't forget to support our sponsors, including More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com. And check them out. Don't forget to check out Beersmith, the best brewing software on the market. Go to beersmith.com.
It's what we use.
Oh, you do? You use it at the brewery.
Absolutely.
You get a free 21-day trial, so you don't even
Ryan
have to
says him too. It goes
it.
Down.
Yeah. All right, Ghost Town uses it. Yeah, Brad absolutely. Over at Beersmith. And also, he's just a nice person. Check it out. Blickman Engineering. We have so many wonderful sponsors. Sully at the 21st Amendment. So check them all out and support them, because we're not here without it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves and your beer.
The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.